This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. Arnold Grefthen of Onaska wrote a booklet called A Land of Howling Wolves. In it, he talks about his experiences and those of his friends growing up in the very early days of Rose Oconee. He tells about traveling long distances before the train came all the way to Roseau, and also the difficulty about getting medical help quickly. In 1907, my mother and I made a trip to Northwood, Iowa to visit my father's folks, my father at the time being too busy to make the trip with us. He took us to Greenbush, the end of the line at that time, and there we boarded the Great Northern train and rode as far as Thief River Falls. There we boarded the midnight train for the Twin Cities, the Sioux Line. This time, this train was very crowded with passengers and we had a hard time finding a seat. The newsboy, seeing our difficulty, invited us down to the end of the car to sit in his seat that was reserved for newsboys and their wares. He said he would be too busy to sit anyway, as he would be selling newspapers, magazines, candy, fruits, and cigars, etc., all the way to the Twin Cities, which proved to be the case. I was fascinated by this young man's uniform and the way he cried his wares. Well, anyway, we made the trip okay. On our return from Iowa, we again landed in Greenbush, staying at the hotel there overnight. The next day, my mother and I and several other passengers were transported from Greenbush to Roseau by auto livery, an open touring car owned and driven by Mr. Jallo. This was my first automobile ride. I sat up front with the driver, feeling very important. What interested me the most was the horn, a bulb-like affair which the driver would squeeze more often than necessary to my delight. I suspect this was done to keep me sitting quietly in my seat while waiting for the next blast. In 1908, the first train had made a run as far as Roseau. The following was related to me by Carl Nelson. In the fall of 1909, Carl and his brother Alfred were working in the woods at Roosevelt. They had received word that their father was seriously ill and for them to return home. He rode the Canadian National train from Roosevelt to Warroad, the Canadian National having been built through Warroad in 1900. On arriving at Warroad, they were surprised to learn that the Great Northern Railway had completed their branch from Crookston to Warroad, and that the first passenger train was then waiting at the Great Northern Depot for passengers for the return trip to Crookston. The train was so crowded that there was standing room only. Carl said there was no charge for their trip from Warroad to Roseau, the first round trip being made with the compliments of the Great Northern. In the month of July in 1910, a Onaska woman became seriously ill with blood poison in her right hand. She had one infant son and one seven-year-old boy. Neighbors were talking in low voices and whispering relatives saying, "Mina hasn't got a chance. She will surely die." The sad, forlorn little seven-year-old talking to God and asking God, "Please make my mother well. Please don't let her die." The writer was that boy, and his prayers were answered. A young Dr. J.L. Delmore had recently come to Roseau to practice his profession. Dr. Delmore was summoned to the bedside of the very ill woman. The face of the young doctor had a grim and foreboding look on that first visit, but Mina didn't die. After several visits by the young doctor, she was finally pronounced out of danger. The young boy's heart sang with happiness. In his young mind, Dr. J.L. Delmore was just as powerful as God himself. Dr. J.L. Delmore soon became widely known for his skill as a physician and surgeon. He was loved and respected by everyone who knew him and for whom he did so much. He was never too busy to come to the aid of the ill wherever they might be it night or day, regardless of weather conditions, be it over the nearly impassable roads and trails of summer, or through blizzard storms of winter. In the fall of 1910, about partridge season time, Julius Wessling, a bachelor living a few miles to the northeast of Onaska, had driven his team and buggy to Grefthen's store for supplies. At that time, a wagon trail led eastwards across Section 19 of Mackinac Township on what is now the Ted Nyah Farm. It was along this trail that Julius drove his team homewards after leaving the store. About 1/2 mile from the store, Julius sighted a covey of partridges. Halting his team, Julius climbed out of the buggy and reached for his .30-30 rifle lying on the floor of the buggy. In pulling the rifle towards himself, it accidentally discharged, the bullet striking Julius in the arm just above the elbow. Julius was a strong man, and even though badly wounded, managed to get back into the buggy where he collapsed. The intelligent, well-trained horses turned the rig around and headed back towards the store. On the way to the store, the trail led by a farmhouse then occupied by Morten Mortensen and his wife Hilda. Helping out at the Mortensons was a young lady, Julia Olsen by name. On this day, she had a friend visiting her, Jonette Thompson, who later became Mrs. Albert Dahlquist. The two young ladies were talking and visiting when they spotted the driverless team coming at a walk down the trail. The girls ran to meet the team and saw the bloody, unconscious man. Each of the girls grabbed a horse by the bridle and, running alongside, urged the horses into a trot. Arriving at the store, my father was notified of what had happened. He immediately bound up the wounded man's arm the best he could to stop the bleeding and told one of the customers to go get Knut Lee, as they had to bring Julius to the doctor as soon as possible. Meanwhile, one of my father's clerks had harnessed and hitched my father's team to his double-seated buggy. Julius was placed in the buggy, Knut Lee sitting on one side of the wounded man and a customer on the other trying to stop the bleeding. Meanwhile, the clerk had phoned Dr. Delmer of what had happened on the store phone, Dr. Delmer saying, "I will have everything ready by the time they arrive." The arm was amputated, and Julius survived, though having lost much blood, the outcome was for a long time in doubt. Arnold Grefthen's publications are in the research area at the Roseau Museum if you'd like to read more of his interesting stories. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.